Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Hallinan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. We're here till 11 o'clock. And we will do our best to help you out. 860-522-WTIC. That's the number no matter where you are. 860-522-WTIC is the number. And feel free to get online. We also have a guest coming in at 10 o'clock. He's a filmmaker, Peter Ross. Is an award-winning filmmaker, indie filmmaker out of Columbus, Ohio. We were turned on to him by Mark Fearborn, who we had interviewed about the Columbus, Ohio data breach incident. He goes, Eric, you're going to want to talk to this guy about this movie he came out with called The Social Media Monster. It's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking with Peter about that and how we have to deal with internet trolls and what we can do about it. So he'll be coming on at 10:05 to discuss his movie and how we can kind of deal with internet trolls. Also, real quick before we get into our tech news, I have to spring this up because, you know, little promotion of a Southington Symphonic Band. We have our concert coming up on Monday. So if you want to check out a great local community band in Southington, 7 o'clock at the high school on Monday. Less than an hour of your time. But, you know, if you like, you know, pyrotechnics, and if you like all sorts of jugglers and acrobatics, you're not going to see any of that. but you will have a great concert that a lot of great local musicians work really hard to put on, and we'd love to have you there. It's free. So consider coming by on Monday. So
you got me.
In other news, technology news, what do you got going on there, Dennis? What do you want to start with?
We got a couple of AI-related stories.
Of course. AI is everywhere. AI is the future.
It is the thing.
Yeah, that's what
Everybody's got to have AI,
yeah,
right?
That's what I heard.
Well, there was we talked about last week a radio station in Poland.
Yes.
That let go of all of their on-air staff in favor of AI announcers.
Really? They said, you're fired. We're bringing on the robots.
Yep. And there was, as you might understand, a little bit of a backlash.
No.
And it was enough of a backlash that the radio station has rolled back that decision.
All right.
And they are bringing back their on-air announcers.
Bringing back the
human.
The human.
Right.
Meat puppets versus the machine meat puppets.
Meat puppets.
All right.
So I just thought we'd get that news out to you.
Yeah.
Another story is about a transcription tool.
Yep.
That's being used by hospitals, medical practices, labs. It's called Whisper, and I believe it's done by OpenAI.
Oh, boy.
It's their AI transcription tool. And
okay. In
theory, it's a nice idea. You record speech, and then it transcribes it into text, and then it can go into medical records and things like that.
All right.
Very nice idea.
Sounds like a great idea,
and
Dennis.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
This has been going on for a while.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Dragon, naturally speaking.
I was going to say Dragon, and before that, Lerno and Osby and a bunch of other things that have been around since late 80s, actually.
And you had to train it, so it had to understand the medical jargon, and it had to you had to speak at a certain pace so it
wouldn't
screw it up.
You had to say things like this because anyway.
Yep.
At any rate. Mm. This is not new stuff.
No.
Okay. That's
it's only
what I'm
new,
getting at. It's
only
just
new that
now
AI
it's AI that's generating the text instead of rote software.
And the irony of that is the AI is a predictive thing. So the AI is going to assume. And you know what happens when you assume there, Dennis?
You make an ASS out of U and ME.
Correct.
Yep.
So if you're thinking you're going to incorporate AI into assuming the next word, what could happen?
A lot of things, including what are called hallucinations.
Right.
And that is exactly what's happening with this Whisper product.
Of course.
However, hospitals, medical practices, laboratories, whatever, are continuing to use it because it just saves them so much time.
Right, because they don't have to think. If they're talking about XYZ, the AI is going to assume what you're going to say next, and then you're going to move on to the next patient. The problem is, if you're not rereading what you thought you said.
Well, yeah, that's the hitch. I mean, you have to go back and look at the transcription and make sure that it's what you said.
Right, because we wouldn't want the transcriptionist to start doing that. Imagine if we didn't have AI and we actually had a female transcriptionist sitting there, or male. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that came out the way I was like, I'm going to get nailed for that one. Your transcriptionist is sitting there listening to you and basically guessing what you're going to say next. Would you, as a doctor, want that to happen?
If I've been working with somebody for like years, I might.
Yeah, but you're but not
it,
the
that's
doctor.
What it takes.
Exactly.
I mean, you've got to have this rapport, and it has to be long term before that will work well.
Right. So now the AI is going to guess what you're about to say, and it could be wrong.
Right. And it turns out that there is wrong stuff, and people are having to go back and fix it, but they're going to continue to use it.
Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen when they talk about the transcription. And, well, we have to amputate the right arm, and then the guy guessed left arm. The AI guy, we'll see what happens. It's not good.
Nope.
In other news, Meta, Apple, say the quiet part out loud. Basically, this is a Computer World article that generative AI emperor has no clothes. So there's no shortage of AI skepticism. And if you're hearing it from us, obviously, I've had this feeling that it's kind of bubblish for a while. And the story kind of talks about it, where it's, you know, this is not like the predictive nature of what AI is doing, predicting the next word, doesn't actually make it intelligent. It's just
really
that's the part you need to know. There's an Apple report that came out, and our findings reveal that LLMs exhibit noticeable variance when responding to different instantiations of the same question. So you can ask it a question in a certain different ways, the same question, and get different answers. So if you ask if the world is flat in a different way, it could give you the answer of yes, which wouldn't be a good answer. And so they're really talking about this fact. So again, it comes down to, we are very much a hype society, right? You know, and you want to jump on board before it's too late, right? You want to get on board with Amazon before Amazon takes off. We took us 20 years to talk about Amazon even making any money. Now, if we were smart, we would have bought a couple shares when it was just starting out. But no, we didn't. I don't know about you. I didn't.
No. Unfortunately.
So here it is with AI. We're going to all try to jump on board with AI and try to pick the next AI leader. And these companies are saying, look, well, wait a minute here. Let's just wait and see if AI really is going to be what it's going to be. And we don't disagree that it's not something that we're all going to use. We are. People use it now, right? If you want to do any kind of letter writing or marketing, you can just tell the AI to do it for you, right? It can input a picture, and then you can describe the picture better than you would sit there describing it, right? I was talking to somebody who was doing a marketing piece on a golf course, and he just asked AI to look at the picture and have AI come out with the answer. He didn't have to do anything.
Wow.
Yeah, so just don't even bother sitting. He's not even thinking about the customer. He's not thinking about it. He's just letting the AI look at it. It was a par 3 hole, but the AI thought it was a par 5.
No.
We had to fix
it. The AI was wrong?
It was wrong. Ooh. But to his point, it saved him an hour or two of thinking about this hole and what he was going to say and how he was going to say it. So you can see some benefits there, but it's not intelligent.
Correct.
Right. Every time I talk to a friend of any of my friends, they're always worried about, you know, Skynet coming down and taking down. And again, if you've listened to this program at all, we can't even figure out how to get the time right still.
I know.
I mean, that's a true statement that we don't even know what time it is. So imagine worrying about Skynet. I think we're way off.
Definitely.
Lots of years, I hope, before that eventually happens and blows up the planet. But we won't be here. But it's an interesting article. We'll put a link up here for you, and you can decide whether or not you're going to invest in this type of technology right now as it is. There's definitely some benefits, but I don't want some hallucinating whisper tool putting in the wrong information in my chart.
Right. Absolutely not.
Heck, I don't know if I told you the story. I was getting my physical, but in my see my doctor roughly once every year. Roughly. I'm a guy, so not every year. they did a migration to Epic. Epic's a medical software, HR, yep. You have a lot of EHR software. And she's asking me my medical history, like, you know, how did your dad pass? I don't remember. It was in the record. You don't have it? No, we lost it when we migrated. Well, there you go.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, isn't that great technology? They can't even migrate the data. So you're worried about AI, yet you can't even do a migration from one medical software to the next and not lose all the data. That's how far away we are, folks.
I don't know if that's HIPAA compliant, though.
That they lost all the data?
If they did a migration and threw away the data because of the migration.
Oh, it's definitely a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's compliant. Well, I don't think they can just dispose of the data.
It wasn't disposed of. It was just not migrated.
It was not migrated. Well, yeah, but they don't have access to it.
The word we would use in the IT world is botched migration.
Oh, yes.
but again, you know, asking me those questions, I don't remember all of the details. That's what the computer's for. So we'll see what the AI overlords do with us. We'll put this link up here for you to read the stories. It's looking like more and more folks are talking about AI and saying, we have a ways to go. It is cool. You've heard Karen and Bob.
Yeah.
It is cool.
It is very cool.
But it's still got a ways to go. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. Feel free to get online. 860-522-WTIC is the number. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and we got lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Happy to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concern. And then we'll be talking to filmmaker Peter Ross, who put out the indie film The Social Media Monster. He'll be coming on at 10:05 to kind of explain how to deal with internet trolls. But for now, as we wait for your calls, we have some more technology news you can use or...
Okay.
Whatever.
Well, what I've got a story that, in contrast with AI, that doesn't live up to the hype or is doing things that it shouldn't.
Right.
We're going to talk about people.
Yeah.
Who are doing things they shouldn't with computers. This is a story about Disney. Mm-hmm. One of their staffers got let go.
Oh, it happens.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And
it's just not nice to be fired by a mouse.
Right. Well, the person got back into their systems.
That person who was fired?
Who was fired.
The mouse didn't shut down things.
Yeah, they didn't close all the doors behind the person. Mm. And this person got into a menu system for one or more of their restaurants.
All right.
And tampered with the menus. They put profanities into some of the entries. They also botched some of the allergen information.
Oh boy.
So
that
if
be
you were if you have a, you know, like a peanut allergy and you're checking the menu items in advance of going somewhere to be sure that something is safe.
Yep.
Well, maybe it wasn't.
Right.
Because you may not know.
Yep.
At any rate, this is a real danger for businesses generally. It's not even an IT problem.
No.
It's a business problem.
Business process.
You have to close all the doors behind people when they leave.
Right.
And it's not even just computer systems. You got to take away access keys, physical keys, things like that. Mm-hmm. You've got to make sure that they don't have access unless you need them to.
Right.
Once in a while, you're going to actually retain somebody.
Right.
Maybe to consult or to help out with an issue, and that's okay. But you've also got to get your hands on that and make sure that you know that only goes as far as it should.
And it's not this is not an IT issue. We've had just recently a financial planner client of ours asked, you know, how come you guys don't have everything to know about turning off one of our employees when they leave? And it's like, no. You fired the employee. This is an HR process. All we can turn off is aspects of the access to your system, but there's many software programs that person may have had access to. You need an offboarding process. It's an HR. This is not an IT function. So keep that in mind. It's one of those things that has to be done in the HR environment. And again, when you think about Disney, you know, when you go to Disney, they make you stick your finger on that ball there to make sure you are who you say you are. Yeah. Like, they are specific. Why is that? There's all sorts of reasons why, but the primary reason is when they want to ban you for life, guess what? Your finger's not going to work.
Right.
They can ban you and make sure you never come back into that park.
That park, yeah.
But they don't have the same functions to fire somebody. They're going to let them not, they're going to let them connect. They're not going to go through the proper processes and lock them out correctly. That's a big mistake, right? And then they found out the hard way.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, just so you guys know, as an employee who's been fired and does that, that's a federal crime.
It is.
So yeah. You can't be messing with your employer's computer systems. It's a federal crime. So yes, Disney should have locked him out, but that person hopefully will be prosecuted to the fullest because, we need to prosecute people for these IT-related crimes so that they stop happening.
Definitely.
Well, maybe they'll stop happening. I have no idea. So, Carolyn, did you want me to go to this person you're saying or after the news? All right. So we're going to step out for a break now, you're saying, or no? What are you saying soon? So Carolyn's giving me all sorts of mixed signals over here. I'm trying to understand what she wants me to do. So we can talk further about this, though. So IT, just because you fired somebody, understand IT may not know all the things you gave them access to. Keep that in mind. And
right.
HR has to make sure that if they let go of Bob... Well, what did Bob have access to? Well, Bob had access to the portfolio management software that the IT people didn't set up. Bob had access to email. The IT people did have that set up, so they can revoke that. You know, Bob had access to the domain. We can remove that. Bob had access to VPNs. IT can revoke that. But HR has to let IT know that Bob's been fired.
Correct. Yeah. And you've also got to cover everything else that they could get into.
Right.
Even portals that are external.
Right.
That someone at the company has to manage that the IT department isn't necessarily involved with.
Right.
Because it's not connected to the network.
Exactly. So keep that in mind. Let this Disney issue be a lesson to you that you need an offboarding process just as much as you need an onboarding process too.
Mm-hmm.
Onboarding is just as important. What does Bob need access to when you bring him on? Just do it in reverse. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And speaking of Bob from Hebron, hang on. We'll get to your call after the news. And you guys can get online as well. 860-522-9842 is the number. And if you're doing nothing on Monday and you're in Southington and you want to do something, come out to the high school and check out the Southington Symphonic Band. We got some pretty cool stuff for you. We'll be right back.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And Carolyn's spinning up the tunes. Good stuff. And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And coming up at 10:05, Peter John Ross is going to be talking about his independent movie that he put together called The Social Media Monster. It's kind of about internet trolls and how difficult it might be to deal with them and some of the damage they can kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be discussing that with him at 10:05. But let's get to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. Let's go to Bob in Hebron. Morning, Bob.
Morning. Faithful listener. Love the show.
Thanks.
I got a couple of computer kindergarten questions.
All right.
The first one is in File Manager, if I delete something, is that gone? No way to retrieve it.
Come on, man. Only if you're Hillary. It's not deleted.
It won't be shown in the File Explorer file list things, but the data that comprise the file can be left behind.
Yep. All it changes is the first character of the file name.
Yeah, it gets changed from whatever the letter or number was to a question mark, and the operating system is told to ignore those.
So anybody can use a tool to recover. Now, over time, that file could be overwritten.
It will get overwritten because, as I said, the operating system has been told to ignore it, so it might actually overwrite that space with some other data later.
Okay, well, if I delete something and I got a sacrificial lamb up here, if I delete it and then I immediately want to get it back into my file manager listing, is there a simple way to do it?
Well, number one, it might be in your recycle bin, with, and you should have an icon for that on your desktop. So the first place I would look is to see if it's in there. And if it's in there, you should be able to right-click on the file or the directory, and you can click on Restore from there. And then, if something has been removed even from that, then you would use a tool that goes into the file system.
Yeah.
It knows enough to look at all those file names that begin with a question mark, and it will show them to you, and it'll ask you if you want to restore them.
And it might even ask you for the letter of the file name.
Yeah, it'll ask you what the how to name the file in order to bring it back.
Okay, what kind of tool would I use?
The one that I like to use is something called Recuva.
Recuva?
Yeah, Recuva. And we can post a link to that if you'd like.
And OnTrack, Kroll OnTrack, I think has some great free tools for data recovery.
Yeah, they do too.
So they're very helpful to get data back.
OnTrack?
Yeah, OnTrack, Kroll OnTrack. They used to be Kroll OnTrack. I think it might just be called OnTrack now. They're the data recovery company we talk about. If for some reason you can't use a tool to get your data back, they can go even further, put the hard drive into a clean room and take the platter out of your damaged hard drive and put it into a perfectly good drive in the hopes of getting it back up, back off that drive. So it's expensive, but they have some free tools as well for data recovery.
Okay, okay. I don't foresee ever going down to that level. I mean, I was thinking more about, like, is there, you said
the recycle bin
is where to start.
Yep.
And
absolutely,
if I find it in there and blow it again, then that's just the wrong day to be on the computer.
You're right. And again, I joked about, you know, what our Secretary of State did with her email, right? She used a product called BleachBit to try to completely destroy writing zeros and ones over the data so it could not be recovered. So there are digital shredding softwares out there that actually people use for all sorts of good reasons, you know, to make sure you obfuscate data that you shouldn't when you're going to recycle the drive, let's say. You want to run maybe a shredder program, a software program over the hard drive so that it is unrecoverable. Along with, in our case, we drilled a hard drive too, so you can't get the data back. But definitely doable for what you're doing. Go ahead.
I had deleted a file,
yeah,
and then now I just pulled up. I just double clicked on the recycle bin.
Yep.
And so it's slowly the green bar is slowly marching across.
Yeah, it takes a little bit to load that sometimes,
especially if you haven't emptied the recycle bin in a long time.
Yeah, there might be a lot in there.
Oh, here it is.
Wait, you didn't believe us?
I have to see with my own eyes for my
trust
brain
and verify. I love
it.
Yep.
Yeah. okay. Oh yeah, there it is.
There it
Beautiful.
Is.
There you go.
So
Windows to the rescue.
so and then from there, I just move it back into the directory that it got deleted from, right?
I think you can do that, but I would right-click on it and then click Restore.
Yeah.
And it will put it back where it was.
Because, it could be just as frustrating when you restore it and you stick it someplace else, then you think, where'd it go?
You think you know where it was, and then it wasn't there. It got moved somewhere because,
you're searching your whole hard drive for the file.
Oh, there it is. Oh, that is great. Okay. All right. We knocked that one off.
Yeah.
The other one might be even simpler, a question.
Mm-hmm.
This might be computer nursery school level.
Uh-oh.
Your Facebook forum.
Yeah.
How do I join that?
You just ask. So you go to the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network on Facebook.
It is facebook.com, I believe, facebook.com/groups/Computer Talk with Tab.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me get that down.
Or you can just search Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network inside of Facebook.
Okay, that sounds like the way to go. Okay, yeah. So it's Computer Talk with Tab. Okay, Listener Network.
That's us.
Ding.
And I just asked to join that. I never use Facebook, but I will for this.
All right. Yeah.
On that page below the big banner, well, toward the right, there should be a join button. And just do what it says there, and we'll approve you.
Yeah, we'll get a notice that Bob wants to get in, and we'll check you out. We'll send you to our crack research company to see it. You're not a crackpot.
Yeah, we'll have to vet you first, of course.
And then we'll...
Well, on my good days, I'm not.
But no, we'll let you in, and that way you can get some help from your fellow listeners.
Oh, super. Okay, so I just... hit join, and then I put in Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network.
Awesome. Yep.
Okay. Terrific. That knocks that one off, too.
All right,
thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for the help.
You're welcome, sir.
Sometimes things are just easier than you think.
You never know. I mean, we get calls all the time about some of this. Some people just haven't had to touch the basics.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you ask my wife about how she uses a phone, I mean, she's kind of in the same boat as Bob deleting a file. you know, it just happens to be what it is. And you get these basic questions, and that's fine. No question's a stupid question.
No.
All right. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. So we have a little more time here to get your call before the top of the hour. And then at 10:05, Peter John Ross will be joining us. He's the filmmaker of the movie The Social Media Monster, and he will talk about internet trolls and what he's had to deal with this internet troll and what other folks have had to deal with, and what we would have to deal with if we found ourselves dealing with an internet troll. We'll be right back. And we're here till 11 o'clock, so stick around. Feel free to get online. Let's get right to your calls. Nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go over to Nancy in Long Meadow first. Hey, Nancy, what's cooking?
I have a question.
Yeah, good. You came to the right place, I hope.
I know. As always, it's always about Proton. So I was interested about the Proton password. Is it worth it to use that? I mean, I think they have a version that isn't a charge.
I haven't used it.
I just started using it, but
is
I have
free?
I don't know that because I have the paid of the paid plans.
Yeah, no, I think that's another area. They said maybe it's not the charge. I mean, right now I have the Mail Plus thing, but it seems that I'm able to open it up. So
I think you have access to that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think with the Mail Plus plan, you're gonna be able to use the password manager.
Nice.
You're gonna have you're also gonna have some more VPN options than just the free VPN.
Oh, yeah, I had that as well.
Yeah. You've got...
It was kind of new, and I thought, well, you know, I know you guys have talked about 1Password, and then everybody always seemed to break up in stuff, and I thought, well, with this Proton Mail, hopefully that would be secure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it'll be secured. Yeah. But when it comes to Proton...
I was hesitant about actually putting in all my passwords, but I was like, well, maybe this might work.
It's creepy, right? You got to give some. You put it in the system, and you're hoping it's secure. And then you've got the 1Password for your password manager. But a password manager is a great way to secure your life because you're going to put in some wicked complicated passwords, right?
Yeah.
If you do this, which is great, you're going to put in these 20 character phrases, not words. And if you put in these big long phrases, try to remember all these phrases is difficult. So the password manager can help. Now, Proton's really good with security until they're not. Right?
Yeah.
Until they're in the news.
So one of you have used it and it's kind of been working okay?
I just started using it on one of my desktops at home.
Okay.
And
so far it works fine.
Yeah.
So far it works fine. So
yeah.
Well, I'll trust you guys' judgment. So I had another question as well.
Hmm.
So the other thing I'm trying to look at, rather than having to use all these passwords, is there any way to like attach, like I know I don't have like a thumb drive, like the ThinkPad, or whether you can unlock your computer thumb or biometric kind of thing. Yeah, so I wonder whether or not there might be some sort of attachment sold by someplace in order to be attaching it onto my computer, so that rather than having to use a like a password or trying to imagine what or remember the thing.
Right.
So whether or not there might be a way to maybe able to change your computer into a biometric.
I'm pretty sure there are these attachments that you can use. But again, they have to be interfaced properly with the tool you're trying to use. So
A lot of if you've got a Windows 10 or 11 computer, and I assume you do.
Yes.
Windows Hello is a feature of Windows that's built in, and that will work with a lot of fingerprint readers and things like that.
And a Yubico key also allows for it's not going to be the same biometric. You're just tapping it.
Right.
You don't have to tell me about the YubiKey because I have that automatically.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's very good.
Like, well, the other ones, because sometimes, like, you know, it's just like the YubiKey thing, it's just like not every area is except a YubiKey thing. And that's what I was thinking in my mind, like, rather than having to remember, because right now, I can't tell you the pages that I have of passwords to keep a separate password for each thing that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
yep.
It might be.
Well, that's where the manager is going to help you. So that if you can incorporate a password manager into your life, that probably would be a simpler way to deal with all those passwords.
Well, that's why I thought about this password thing. I thought, well, practically something that might actually be secure. Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, Proton knows what they're doing until they don't. They're secure point-to-point, encrypted, and they don't have the other key, right? So they're supposed to, that way they can't be hacked because they don't have that other key. You have it. I would say that's the way to go, and that would be the way I would tell you to manage your passwords rather than trying to incorporate a biometric option.
Yeah, well, what the heck? I could check on both of them. At least I'm going to start on this password thing and kind of like check out how it goes. I mean, the worst that could happen is I go back to the Excel sheet.
Right. The Excel sheet on your computer that's called passwords.
Yeah. And Mike G just said that there is a way to use Windows Hello with the YubiKey.
Mm, yep. Oh, so, good.
Yeah.
We'll
try to find that.
Is there a way, is this a YouTube kind of thing, or is it there?
I'm not sure. I haven't set it up myself. We're looking for an explanation of how to set it up.
Maybe you could post it?
Yeah,
we will.
Okay.
But so that Excel spreadsheet, Nancy, you don't have it in your computer, and it's not called passwords, is it? Is it password protected? Is the Excel spreadsheet password protected?
Yes.
All right, good.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Good. If I have a YubiKey, don't you doubt that I don't have this password?
Oh, well, we have a story to bring up that you would that you wouldn't believe.
Oh, no. I could believe it. Like, you know, the whole thing, like that whole thing, everybody getting the message about like the post office isn't delivering your mail, and therefore, same kind of thing like that.
Ours is even worse. The one we're going to bring up.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
okay.
I'll wait to listen for this
to bit. All right, Nancy.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for your help.
Our pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So the story that we're kind of alluding to happens to deal with the French president.
Yes.
And his security detail.
Right. He's got bodyguards, you know, the French equivalent of the Secret Service.
Right. Hopefully a little better than ours currently is operating, but we won't go there.
Okay. At any rate.
But maybe not when you hear this story.
It turns out that they've all been using a fitness app on their phones.
Uh-oh, yeah. You want very fit security. You don't want...
Right. We want them to be,
buff.
They want to be buff and tough and be able to handle everything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, they can log all their gym time and their jogging travels and everything.
Of course.
And their bike riding, all that stuff. It's all great.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that the app itself that they're using to track all this stuff is leaking their location information on the internet.
And we've talked about this and brought this type of thing up numerous times.
Yes.
Because there's been like secret bases in like the Middle East where you can actually see the military running around in circles, creating a big bright light on the map as far as where they are, thanks to their Fitbits.
Right.
Same thing here. The French president's secret service ain't so secret.
Right.
If you know where they are. And again, you got to ask yourself, right? What's wrong? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, you're supposed to protect the French president, and you're telling the bad guys where you are?
Yeah, you're telegraphing your location.
Ooh. Yeah, here we are. And guess what? We do this many push-ups. It's just this kind of a breathtaking thing. And the thing about technology is, you know, all the tracking that's happening, right, with Bluetooth, with Wi-Fi, any device you have on you is going to be trackable or traceable. And you would think a security organization like the French equivalent of the Secret Service would know this. I mean, if you listen to our program for the past few years, we've brought these scenarios up. They've been posted all over the world. All these news articles talk about the lunacy of military using these technologies.
Yeah.
And they're on a map, for crying out loud. So what are we doing? I mean, we talk about tabletop exercises for disaster recovery, right? We have all these things we're talking about to prepare for the disaster, yet you don't realize your Fitbit tracker is tracking you?
I guess not.
That just doesn't compute for me. I thought we were better than that, but we're clearly not. So as the devices and the things we bring along with us get smarter and smarter, we seem to get stupider and stupider, not understanding how much tracking is occurring, from our TVs, right? To, I think we had Agent Phoenix on.
Yeah, he told us the story about how they were able to track down this Russian criminal.
Right.
Because he turned out to have had on his phone
some kind of
an ordering app for a chain in Russia.
Right.
And they were able to get the information from that company
His
location information.
Right.
Using that.
Heck, Pokemon Go.
And they found out when he went to Mexico, and then bang, they got him.
Right. Pokemon Go would do that.
That's right.
Right? So if the Russian hacker is a Pokemon fan, we can track him. It's just nutty. So we'll put that story up there for you to read it and weep. You just can't make it up. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. So coming up at 10:05, Peter John Ross is a Emmy-nominated, six-time Emmy-nominated filmmaker. But as his mother would tell him, he hasn't won anything.
Right.
But it is always nice to be Emmy-nominated. He'll be on our program talking about internet trolls. And he did and put together a whole movie about him called The Social Media Monster. You can find it on YouTube. And we'll be talking to him about what people can do, if anything, to deal with a social media troll that is simply getting off on driving you nuts. We'll be right back.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.